Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Both the State House and Senate this week passing a bill that bans so-called partial birth abortions. The vote's breaking mostly along party lines, with many Democrats saying that there's already a federal ban on the procedure, making a state law unnecessary. To discuss the legislation and how anti-abortion efforts are generally going, I'm joined by Ed Rivett. He's the legislative director for Right to Life Michigan. Welcome to the program, Ed.
Thanks very much.
So with a federal ban in place and no known doctors that perform partial birth abortions in Michigan, why is the state ban being pursued?
Well, it's something that we've been pursuing for 15 years. It's something that the citizens of Michigan feel very strongly about. We've enacted several versions. We, along with over 30 states, have had to go through the gauntlet of writing a version, having the court strike down this word or that word, and then writing another version. And so it's a long iterative process to get to an objective we've had on our list for 15 years. So the fact that the federal government's bill finally was the one that made it through the tests doesn't mean that it wasn't an agenda item, an endeavor of ours all this time. It just happens to be that we have to come through afterwards. But the reason to have a state-level statute separate from a federal one is so that it empowers our local prosecutors or our state attorney general, our local law enforcement, to address the case. If we have to rely only on the federal prosecutors, they have very limited resources. There are essentially two district offices for the state of Michigan on the east and west side. They're prosecuting terrorism cases, drug trafficking. Now, these are major federal issues, and that's where their detention lies. So they're not going to be able to have the resources to focus on a single rogue abortionist who might be discovered to do this.
Isn't it true that there are no known doctors in Michigan that perform partial birth abortions?
No, there's only none that have been caught. I mean, take yourself to the Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell, who was running a house of horrors, and, well, he was no known rogue abortionist either till he became known. So, you know, it's just like anything else. Laws are put in place for the lawless, and if they behave in said fashion, the law is there to be utilized in that case. If the law is not there, then you don't have the resources to address the case when it does surface.
Now, Governor Snyder has said that while he opposes abortion, he believes there should be exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. This ban certainly does not have those provisions. Is there a real chance he'll veto the bill?
Nope, because there is a provision regarding the life of the mother, but in actuality, the health of the mother, or in cases of even rape or incest, this is a procedure that doesn't happen until 4.5 or 5 months into the pregnancy. It is not an easy procedure. It takes 2 to 3 days, and it is a horribly graphic, gruesome way to kill an unborn child. It's actually more born than unborn. That doesn't address a woman's challenges who is a victim of sexual assault. If you haven't addressed those crisis situations that she has to confront from the moment of that assault, and you're waiting 4.5 or 5 months to address them, you are really doing a great disservice to a woman who's been a victim of sexual assault. So that is just sort of a smokescreen issue to act as if there's no thought or compassion to what a woman needs who's been a victim of assault. And the fact of the matter is, if you're waiting 4.5 to 5 months to address these issues, you have really let her down.
I'm talking to Ed Rivett. He's the legislative director for Right to Life of Michigan. This is the first time we've seen this new Republican-dominated state government pursuing abortion legislation. Do you expect to see more abortion-related bills coming up for a vote this fall?
Well, you know, we had quite a bit of success with legislation back in the 90s when Governor Engler was in office, and there was a time when there was Republican control then, but there was also Democratic control of the House back in those times. When the Democrats have controlled the House in the recent past, they've always elected a pro-life speaker. The previous speaker was pro-life when the Democrats held it last session. And as you date back in prior ones, the Democrats have actually had a pro-life speaker in that position. So the only thing that's kind of blocked much progress in the recent past was the fact that former Governor Granholm, pretty much blocked almost everything we attempted to do. Not everything. She did sign one or two peripheral matters, but generally speaking, and if it was a significant measure, she just vetoed it.
We haven't really heard about abortion being discussed on the national level recently, especially by politicians. How would you describe the current momentum of the pro-life movement?
Well, you know, we're a grassroots issue and a grassroots movement. And so a lot of times political issues, the current political issues of the day, as you say, we haven't heard much out of Washington, don't reflect the nature of how this issue is being played out in the minds and hearts of individuals across our country. So we as a grassroots movement certainly focus on attempting to use the democratic process to expand protection for the unborn or whatever the cause or case may be. But we do a lot of our work on the ground, reaching out to individuals, reaching out to young people in particular, and sharing what our message is about. And so if you look at the polling data, just kind of somewhat separate from the politics type of polling, and just say, how do you identify? About 2 years ago, the first polls by the big groups like Gallup and some of those larger polling agencies are showing that a majority of people in America now self-identify as pro-life rather than pro-choice.
A majority, really?
Hmm. Yeah, 51%.
Well,
you know, I've been at this for almost 24 years, and when I first started in 1988 working for Right to Life, we were polling at about 37% self-identified. So we have moved up, and consequently, those who self-identify as pro-choice have fallen below 50% and now are in the lower low to mid 40s.
I think it's a given that any woman facing or getting an abortion would prefer not to have even been in that situation or gotten into the situation that led to the procedure. Shouldn't there be more focus by the government on the prevention of unwanted pregnancies rather than making abortions illegal?
You know, that's another one of those kind of red herrings now. It may have been relevant 40 years ago in the early 1970s. But today in 2011, to suggest that we need to put more emphasis on birth control and prevention when it's hanging in on the bathroom walls of lots of gas stations and rest stops for every guy who makes a pit stop. We know you can buy contraception literally from a vending machine. Every convenience store sells it. The government gives it away free at the health departments to people who are of low income. I mean, we have a ubiquitous amount of birth control available. And you can even go to the pro-choice organizations like NARAL or the Guttmacher Institute, and they'll even say, and even still, if we have complete access, there'll always be a need for abortion. So, you know, we've evolved past this. We need more prevention stuff.
Okay, about a minute left. You know, banning abortions has certainly been shown not to stop them, but rather to make them far more dangerous. What are your thoughts about the reality that an abortion ban means that women would then need to turn to back alley abortions and it can result in serious injury and death?
Well, first of all, there's no fact behind the statement you just made. You can look to countries in Europe and Eastern Europe where abortion was legal prior to the end of the Cold War, behind the Iron Curtain, Poland and other places, and they voted to make abortion illegal in those countries after, in the modern era, quote-unquote, okay, post-1988, post-1990, and we don't see women dying there of back-alley abortion, so It's not the case that if we made abortion illegal that it would suddenly become a grave threat to women's health, because we're at a point now where we should be able to respond to every woman in that crisis situation and say, you can make a better choice than having your unborn child killed, because that's what abortion ultimately is, and it's a decision, as you said, she usually doesn't want to have to make.
Ed Rivett, Legislative Director for Right to Life Michigan. Ed, thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.